wonder, the wonder of Christmas.
Every year I get this funny feeling inside. There's something about Christmas I can't describe.
Testing. Now, can you hear me? Good. Now I just knocked it off the... Oh, I hate it when this happens. You know, it's this technical difficulties of trying to attach this thing to your belt. Well, that's a little uncomfortable. And so to have it there, it's really... Okay. I want to thank you all for being here today. Especially, I recognize that I missed last week, and I stayed home. You guys all still came and were faithful, and I appreciate your faithful attendance. And I appreciate Bill. He presented the message last week on very short notice, but did an excellent job from the sermon I read. And, yeah, give him a hand. Give him a hand. Yeah, he needs the affirmation, too. You know, it's tough being putting your message out here. You go home, you put your heart into it, you think about, and you're sharing things of your own thoughts and things that are important to you, and then sometimes you never hear any feedback. So it's important. You guys, make sure he knows that you appreciate what he shared and his thoughts. And I got to read it, but of course that's never the same as the delivery, but I did get to read it, and I was very impressed that he had so many eloquent thoughts to present. And he was... I thought it was really good. In honor of Thanksgiving, he was very focused on reasons to give thanks and listed off a ton of things. And part of it being in this community and having a community like this in which you can share, you have love, you have friendships, you have gorgeous scenery around you that proclaims God's glory and helps you stay focused. So I just kind of appreciated the reminders that he gave even to me. You're sitting at home and you're feeling terrible, and sometimes you just need to be reminded there's still good things to be thankful for and stuff. Unfortunately, my sermon's going to be a little different today. If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 8. We've been looking at the parables, okay, you remember, and we've been studying about the parables of the kingdom, parables of the salvation, and we're looking at parables of the Christian life right now, okay? We looked at parables of now my mind's blank, but we're looking today at parables of the Christian life, continuing with that. We've looked at a couple, and now we want to look at the parable that Jesus told about the lamp on the stand. Okay, now some of your Bibles may not even have it listed as a parable. Some people consider it. Remember, I told you at the beginning of this, there are some of Jesus' sayings that some people classify as parables and some don't. Okay, this is one of those. It's kind of, is it a saying that he just had, a short saying, or is it a parable? I think it's kind of a parable about a parable to help us understand a parable, if you want to put it that way. In Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Okay, and this is to help us, and I'll explain that as we go. Luke chapter 8, verse 16. And so we're going to go ahead and read that. It says, "No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you will listen. Whoever hears has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken from them." Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we begin to study your word, that you'll just clear our minds. There's so many distractions that we face each day. So many distractions in life. So many business plans and social arrangements. So many things to occupy our minds. But I thank you, Father, for each person that's here today, that they've chosen to be here with the express purpose of cutting out this time to spend to listen to your word. And I pray, God, that now that you might open their ears, that they can hear clearly the things that Jesus has to teach us today. And I pray, God, that you will give me the speech that I need. Put the words in my mouth. Help me to understand what needs to be spoken in order to clarify the teachings that Jesus has given to us. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You know, he's talking here about a lamp. And, you know, what in talking about the light that comes from that lamp. And whenever I start thinking about that, I kind of go the other way. You know, Bill talked about last week the things that we have to be thankful for, the things that are gratitude. And I in turn then look at this and I start thinking of the dark things, okay? I look around us in this world, and you guys know that I've been disturbed for the past several months, as I've mentioned to you guys about what's going on in the United States, but it's not just the United States, it's around the world. You know, what was it, 8 months, 10 months ago, this COVID came on the scene, and it has made such a terrible, terrible impact upon our society and upon our relationships with people. And whenever I look at this, I just see the darkness closing in, you know? And then you hear about the riots taking place, people rioting, and apparently for no reason, pulling down statues, you know, supposedly protesting slavery, but pulling down one of the statue of a freed slave who stood for the freedom and liberty that they were trying to pursue. And yet they're tearing this, making no sense, and I just see the darkness of the world closing in. And then you hear the reports on the news about how many people were shot and killed last week in Chicago or New York or this year. I understand LA has announced a record in 10 years. They haven't had this many, but they had 300 homicides or I believe it was homicides, maybe it was shootings. I'm not sure now. But they had reached this terrible crime statistic showing how dark our world is becoming around us. I had to think, though, that that's probably why you guys are here, okay? You see all this darkness around us in the world, and we come here and we see light and glory, and we see good, and we have a community that we can love and embrace, and that's good. But as I look at this, the statistics, and you know, here's the other statistic I came across just the other day. You may have heard it. In Japan, I was reading that over 2,000 people in Japan had committed, 2,157 people had committed suicide just last month in Japan. And they say their suicide rate had been declining. It had been going down in recent years. But when COVID came and this lockdown occurred and people have become isolated and this darkness has enveloped them, the suicide rates have gone up again. There were more people died from suicide last month than have died from the entire COVID infections during the past year in Japan. Isn't that amazing? Less than 2,000 people had died in Japan from COVID during the entire 2020, yet over 2,000 died just last month from suicide, aggravated by this isolation. They tell me how many, I know we have Dan is from Alaska. Who else is here from Alaska? I know Vera that lived in Alaska for a while. You were there too, Marseille? I didn't know that. Anyway. What I understand is that, you know, it's because of the tilting and the changing of the seasons and all that stuff, that it during the winter months, you know, it gets dark up there. I understand there's usually always some twilight or so, but it gets dark and you're surrounded, enveloped in that darkness for days and days, it seems like, during the winter months. And I understand as well that that's when the suicide rates skyrocket in Alaska. We were not made for the darkness. Do you see that? Do you see that we don't know how to respond to it? And this isolation, the in the isolation that comes in the darkness, and the darkness of this world causes us to look for an alternative, an escape, and many people have chosen suicide to do that. But here, Jesus tells us about a light. Any of you ever read C.S. Lewis? Any of his books? You may be more familiar with Chronicles of Narnia. Have you heard about that? Chronicles of Narnia, that's C.S. Lewis. C.S. Lewis is probably most known for that, but he was one of the great theologians that we've had in the past century. And C.S. Lewis wrote extensively. And one of the little short stories that he wrote was, I'm not sure I'm getting the title right, but I think it was A Visit to a Small Planet. Okay, I always love it. I always think about it at this time of year. And in that visit to a small planet, C.S. Lewis sets a stage with two angels. There's a younger angel and an older senior angel. And they're giving a tour, and the older angel is giving a tour to the younger angel of heaven, okay? And he's taking them around and showing them all the galaxies and everything else. And then they come up to the planet Earth there, okay? They don't call it Earth, but they come up to it, and the little angel points and says, what about that planet? And he goes, well, that's the visited planet. He goes, what makes that so special? It's dark, it's dingy, it's dirty, you know, kind of thing. And so the older angel takes him back, and they rotate the Earth backwards in time before Christ was born. And the older angel is explaining to the younger angel that it was the visited planet. And he says, watch what happens. And what you find is you find that the Earth was just enveloped in darkness. Just dark, dark, dark. And the little angel says, well, what's so great about that? That's just a dark, dingy planet. He says, watch. And the Earth begins to spin. Then all of a sudden, there's this brilliant light. They have to block their eyes and hide it from their eyes. And this brilliant light shines there. And the little angel is astonished. He says, what was that? And the older angel explains, that was the visit. That was when he came to Earth. That was the visit. And after a little bit of time, then that light fades. And he goes, what happened? The little angel asks, what happened? He says, well, the darkness couldn't stand the light. And so they put it out. And they extinguished that light. He says, but watch. And so the Earth spun a couple times. And all of a sudden, there started to pinpoint little glimmers of light. Light would pop up. And soon, all over, the planet was covered with little dots of light. And he says, see, they couldn't keep the light. And those lights represented the light that Jesus gave to us. And so Jesus tells us this parable in this sense to explain it. And he says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. You see, this is the point that Jesus is trying to make. Now, whenever we look at the parables, one of the things I hope you have learned from me, and before, you know, when I'm dead and gone and buried, I hope you guys keep remembering this, okay? I hope you keep remembering. Go back and find the context. What's he talking about? Why is he speaking this parable at this time? And if you go back, you'll be quickly recognize one of the parables we've already looked at. It was the first parable we looked at in the kingdom, I think, first or second. But it's the parable of the sower. And remember, this was one of the first parables we looked at that explained to us what Jesus was telling us about the kingdom of God. And he says that, you know, this is what the kingdom of God is like. It's this farmer that went out and sowed the seed. And he explains this parable, and you guys know it. There were four soils, and it fell on the four soils and different growth rates, okay? And then Jesus went off with his disciples. And his disciples came to him and says, wait. Why are you talking in parables? We don't understand. And what are you trying to do? And listen to what he says there in verse 9 of chapter 8. He says his disciples asked him what this parable meant. And he said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you. Now listen, this is very important to get this. The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. And then he goes on and he explains the meaning of the parable of the kingdom, or of the sower. Here, Jesus is telling them, I spoke in parables, so that there's a revealing of the secrets of the kingdom to you through these parables. And as Jesus finishes this and he explains that parable, now he comes back and he expounds upon that in verse 16. He says, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Now listen, here is the point. This is where he ties it back. For there is nothing hidden. What was he saying before? I've hidden these things from those who can't understand it. I've hidden this from those who aren't ready to receive. I've hidden this back in verse 9. He says, this is the reason why I'm speaking in parables, because there's some who can't have it. But he's telling us here that now in verse 16 or 17, he says, there's nothing that was hidden. What I'm telling you is the parable I just told you is going to be revealed. And he says, you're the light that's going to reveal that. You, the one to whom he is speaking. He's talking to his disciples, his apostles, if you want to have it down that close. He's talking to his disciples, to those who have chosen to follow him, as opposed to those that are just kind of listening in, that happen to be tuning, changing channels on the TV and came across this sermon, okay? And they're just kind of, we're, as disciples of Christ, we're the ones that are locked in. We schedule that. We got it DVR'd. We got it recorded so that we hear the words of Christ. But here, Jesus is saying there's some that just are passerbys. They're not really listening. They're not really paying attention. For them, the parable's going to hide these truths. But to you, I've revealed this. I've explained it to you. You have received the light. You have received this light. Now, I want you to take a moment and let's reflect about what he's talking about when he says this light. There's a couple different ways to look at this, all right? One is that the light is Jesus himself, okay? And that, you know, that's true. Jesus is the light. That's the point of the story that C.S. Lewis told. And that Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus said, or John described it in John chapter 1, that Jesus is the light of the world, okay? And he came into the world. And he goes on later, and John the Baptist said, I'm not the light, okay? But the point is that Christ takes his light and he puts it in each of us. That was C.S. Lewis's point in the Visit to the Small Planet, to say how although they put out the light of Christ, the Son of God, that light shines in his followers. That light has come and is abiding. So although that light is Jesus Christ, the lamp that he's lighting is you and me. A couple of things about the light. And I hope I can make myself clear in it. Have you ever used an oil lamp? You know, most of us just go in and, yeah, you know, Newt has. I've used an oil lamp a couple of times. Most of us just go in and we, you know, we flick. Or we have the fancy candles here where you just put batteries in and turn them down and they flicker, okay? You know, we use that kind of lights now, all right? But back in the day, in this day, they had lamps, oil lamps. And they'd have wicks that came out of those lamps in various ways. One of the things I found out is that those wicks have to be trimmed. And depending upon how you trim them, changes the effect of the light. You have to trim it correctly in order to get the maximum amount of light. If what you're trying to do is just get a brilliance in the light, you got to trim it a certain way. Other times, you can, if you just let that wick kind of wither away, you might say, then the light can get kind of dim, and it doesn't burn correctly, and it creates soot that fogs the lamp and clouds it and makes it go away. one of the things you need to understand about lighting that lamp is that each of us, if we are that light and we are being equated to that lamp, then we need to look at our wicks. Do you get that? Amen. We need to look at the wick that we're burning, because that's what Jesus is saying here, folks. If you go on in the rest of this passage, he says, therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Consider carefully how you listen. Are you listening with diligence? Or are you just flipping through the channels, like I pointed out? Are you just turning the dial and you get a bit of a word? Are you just casual in your relationship with Christ? Or are you dedicated and focused on hearing his word? Do you sit down with that word and let it speak to you? Or do you just get your chapter read each day and check it off the chart? Are you spending time? Are you listening carefully? When we listen carefully, we're trimming that wick so that the light shines bright. When we just casually treat our relationship with Christ casually, when we just listen to the word, we don't understand the parable. When we just casually listen, we don't understand the parable. And the consequence is we miss the message that Christ wants us to receive. We miss that, and we are dim. Our wick is not trimmed correctly, and our light is burning dimly. That's rough. Another thing about lights, Ginger and I had a chance to, we've had several chances. Did we go back to and visit her sister? Her husband's had a good job, and they have a beach house in New Smyrna Beach in Florida. Okay. They were one of the people. Of course, the hurricanes aren't any fun, but they have a nice house in a nice location. And nearby, the near New Smyrna Beach, is a lighthouse. It's on a point something, and I can never remember what the point is, okay? But there's a point just a little bit north of where they live that has a lighthouse on it that used to shine. It used to be one of those old ones with the wick that burned, okay? And I've always been amazed whenever we've gone there and we've gone up, we've looked at the light, we've gone down into the museum that they have there and looked at the different lenses that were there and the lights that shined, that created the light, initial light. But what I was always amazed about was the lens. And, you know, it's not just a lens, like a clear, you know, my oil lamp, I just have a clear globe that goes around it, okay? But that's not what those lights are like. They're cut glass, and they're cut and designed in such a way that the light is refracted back upon itself so that whenever that light, as it spins and it directs it, it points out that beam, okay? And it creates an intense beam many times brighter than the light itself. It reflects it. I don't know what the proper word would be, but it condenses it, it concentrates it, and brings it down into one single powerful beam. And I think that that's another illustration for us to understand. Jesus is saying you don't light a lamp, you don't put a lighthouse out there and then put a barrel over it to cover it up. Instead, you do everything you can to enhance that light. You want to concentrate it down. You want to take out everything, every morsel. And here's what I think his message is here as he's saying this in this context, is that I told you a parable about the sower. I told you about the kingdom of God. I've explained it to you, so now you understand that kingdom, about the kingdom of God. And the Holy Spirit has taught you. Now, are you going to apply that in your life? Are you going to take the teachings and concentrate them into your life so that the light that I've put inside you through that teaching is concentrated in the way you live? Is it going to come out in the way that you live, the way you send out that beam to the world? And this is, to me, what Jesus is talking about in this parable. And he wants us to understand that whenever he's teaching, whenever his spirit comes, whenever you pull out your Bible and you sit down in your chair to read And you start to read here, and as his spirit comes alongside you to teach you this, he wants you to understand you need to listen carefully to his word. And he says something to me that's very interesting, which just talking about a light and a lamp doesn't make any sense. But in the context of the Spirit revealing to us, I think it does. He says, whoever does not have, or he says, first of all, whoever has will be given more. So whenever the Spirit, the light of the Holy Spirit comes and begins shining in your life, and you allow that light to begin showing, just like that refractor lens, it concentrates it, it gives you more and makes your light even brighter, okay? And it helps it to shine even more in your light, and you become that light that shines in the world. You have more than enough light to share with those around you. Amen. But whoever does not have, if you don't take that time to let that Holy Spirit bring the light to you, if you don't have that, even what you think you have will be taken from you. The light you think you have, the things you think you understand, maybe you don't, because you've not allowed the Holy Spirit to teach you. Here's my thought on this passage. By itself, that parable does have some meaning, but I think you need to understand it in the context that Jesus is teaching them about learning about a parable. He's using a parable to explain why we need to learn about the parable. Does that make sense? A little different looking at it, huh? As I thought about this message, I said, well, God, what are you saying to us now? What are you saying to us now? And the thing I think Jesus is coming back and he's challenging us, those of us who are here today, with a new commitment. I've been a Christian for 40 years. A little over 40 years ago, I said simply to Christ, I will follow you. I had no idea what that meant at the time I said it. Had no concept of where it would take me. And I think there have been times that I've followed him very faithfully, and there have been times that I've kind of strayed off the path. Got distracted, followed other things. When I followed him and I felt the challenge from him to serve him more faithfully, that's when he's concentrated his light in my life. And he's taught me, and he's used me to teach others. He's used me to touch the lives of others within my community. When I get distracted, that's when what light I have is taken away. And I begin to stumble in darkness. I think that there comes a time for each of us that we have to ask that question. Who am I going to follow? Will I follow myself? Do I think I have all the answers? Or will I follow Christ? And today, I challenge you that if you have not yet in your life made a decision to simply follow Christ, to say, Christ, you know more than I do. I'm willing to listen to your words. I'm willing to submit myself to your direction. Then I challenge you today to make that commitment. Or it may be simply this today, too. You realize that the way you have listened to the word of God has not been as he's described. You have not listened carefully. You've not made a commitment to studying his word, to being involved in it, to being faithful in studying it on a daily basis or a regular basis. I don't want to get so hung up on and pharisaical on being daily. I think we need to have regular study. I think daily is good. It's the best way to do it, easiest way. But I think it's more important that the time that you do spend, you listen carefully. Do you understand that difference? Sometimes we can go through the motions and not get anything out of it because we haven't listened. But I want to challenge you. Have you listened carefully? And is God calling to you and speaking to you and saying, you need to listen carefully to what I have to say to you? Are you willing to say yes to him? Are you willing to do that? Let's pray. And before I pray, you go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes, please. But before I pray, you may be here today and say, God, I've just been a little lax. I didn't learn anything new today, God. I've known this, but I've just gotten a little away from studying. And I need to recommit myself to listening carefully to your word. Or maybe there's the commitment today that you just need to make that decision to finally decide, I will follow him. If God's spoken to your heart today in some way, just lift your hand up. I want to pray for you. If he's spoken to you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Father, I just want to pray for these my brothers and sisters. God, we're all in this journey together. You've put us here. You've given us one another for encouragement. You've given us one another to learn how to love. You've given us one another to help us on this journey, to help carry the burdens, to help carry the loads. And Father, therefore I will lift up to you these that have made commitments within their heart, these that have recognized that you're calling them to something deeper, and they've said yes to you. They've said yes that they want to follow, that yes, they want to learn to sit at your feet and to learn to listen, to hear and pay attention to what you're saying to them. And I pray, God, that you will send your spirit to be their teachers. That's the promise. That's the hope, God. That's all that we have. That you will be the teacher and you will lead them, that you will guide them today. I'm thankful for that, God. Thank you. Thank you that you can speak to us in such a dynamic way. And I ask, God, that as we prepare to leave from this place, that you'll go with us into a world. Take that light that's within us, God, and help it to shine in this dark, dark world. Help us to speak forth your words of hope, of love, and of grace. In Christ's name, amen. One final thing is we do have a brief announcement that needs to be made just to make you aware of something. Ask Bill, as our church moderator, to let you know that.
Folks, before we go to our last song, we're so blessed, so happy that Pastor's back with us and well, and so thankful that his illness was not that dreaded COVID. With that in mind, it's come to me that one of our visitors last week had some mild symptoms and has since tested positive for COVID. That was last week. The two folks sitting by him are self-quarantining, so they're not here today either. For HIPAA reasons, I won't share their names, but I just wanted you all to know that since this nasty thing came about us almost a year ago, Meadview has been pretty lucky, and this church family extremely lucky that we have not had that. So I'm only letting you know, be hypervigilant on your symptoms. We don't believe that that this is a super spreader opportunity, but I thought it was important that we do let you know that one individual has very mild symptoms, but it was a positive test. So if you need to know any more than that, you can talk to me or Pastor Curtis after service. All right.